Coverage of Arizona business and economic news on KJZZ is supported by Arizona-based CPA firm Beach Fleischman, providing accounting, assurance, tax, and management consulting services. More at beachfleischman.com.
What is Arizona food? Is it a chimichanga or a Sonoran hot dog? Is it the classic Native American dish of squash, beans, and corn, the Three Sisters? The elusive answer to that question is what Chris Molloy is attempting to nail down in his new column for the Phoenix New Times called Sonoran Arcana. Our co-host Lauren Gilger is getting an inside look at this new year-long series. Lauren, good morning.
Good morning.
So you're going to get to eat a lot of really good food this year, and I know you enjoy that.
I hope so. I hope we get to eat a lot. So we'll be going on this journey to sort of define Arizona cuisine with Chris Molloy this year, and I'll let him explain some more.
And what it's going to do is try to explore the definition of Arizona cuisine. And focus on people who are kind of on the fringes, doing really interesting things that have gone overlooked. And within this, one of the main projects is going to be identifying what I call new Arizonan cuisine. And that focuses on people who are taking these Arizonan ingredients, whether it's saguaro fruit, palo verde bud, or maybe mesquite flour, acorns, pretty much anything. There's, I think, 1,500 edible plants in the Sonoran, and there's countless global techniques that can be applied to them. People have all kinds of wild ideas. You know, with the internet, all these ideas are crossing and cross-pollinating, and this really interesting cuisine is kind of emerging.
So to give you a sense of what he's talking about here, for the first edition of this series, Molloy went on a tour to forage edible plants like wild amaranth from, wait for it, the alleyways and curbsides of Old Town Scottsdale. So for the second installment, he and I went out to Cave Creek to the noisy kitchen of Cartwright's Modern Cuisine to try some Arizona acorn miso.
That is so cool. You can taste the acorn.
Mm-hmm. So what I love about this miso is that with your typical miso, there's a lot of salt. And one of the main flavors you get is just like, boom, punch of salt, like haymaker. The salt here is really dialed down, and that allows you to really taste that acorn. And it has this incredible sweetness to it, this like loamy, earthy sweetness. And it does kind of taste of the forest and transport you there a little bit. It's more of an experience than like a flavor combination that you can describe, if that makes sense.
Now, Lauren, I think I'm going to need some convincing as whether miso is an Arizona food or not.
Right, right. So this miso, though, was made with foraged Arizona acorns. And it's the result of a collaboration between Cartwright's executive chef, Brett Vibber, and Atsuo Sakurai. He's the Japanese transplant whose Arizona sake was just named the world's best sake at Tokyo's 2018 sake competition. We'll get more into the miso in a minute here, but let's first talk about Brett Vibber. He is what Molloy calls a leading pioneer of new Arizonan cuisine. And he's doing that with his team by foraging for native Arizona ingredients and applying modern, often Japanese-inspired techniques to them, hence the miso. More than 200 days a year, these guys go out around the state to gather everything from those acorns to Palo Verde sprouts, cattail pollen, wild grapes, all of which end up in some form on his menu every night. So on the day Molloy and I went out to Cartwright's, Vibber had already been out for 8 hours that morning and covered about 17 miles on foot, and this is not out of the ordinary for him. So he began by showing me some of the fruits of their labor that day, wildflowers.
After it rains in Arizona, you start seeing all of, like, this is rabbit brush flowers and these are viola flowers, so all edible flowers wild out of the desert.
So what are you going to make with them tonight?
Tonight, these flowers mostly will garnish the tables and they'll garnish a lot of sushi. Most of our foraging, you find a forage ingredient in every single menu item, but where we really thrive with our foraging because of the hyper-seasonality, for lack of a better word, of Arizona is on our tasting menu. So we have a multi-course tasting menu that's served like in a Japanese tradition of omakase, of just trust the chef is literally what that means, and that's where a lot of my experience comes from, is Japanese food, but now in an Arizona setting it lends itself to it even better, because we're not forcing anything in greenhouses, we're growing and foraging with the natural season, so it makes a really organic kind of creation when you're done with it.
What are the berries?
Wolfberries. So the wolfberries, these are also kind of funny. We see them go like 4 or 5 times a year. So they'll have a season in the later spring where every wolfberry plant in the desert will be bright red, vibrant, whatnot. Some of them survive the freeze up here. We're in the weird part of the desert where you might go around a corner of a canyon and it's 27 degrees in the morning. You might get up on top of that canyon and it's 45 and it's never frozen up there. So It's finding those like cool little hyper ecosystems.
So, I mean, one of the things that's striking to me about this is the foraging, yes, and using native Arizona foods is one thing, but then with sushi seems like a whole different realm. How do you marry those two?
How does my brain twist around it all? Cartwright's was a Western steakhouse, I'd say, by definition, when we bought the restaurant and why I took over as the chef. With Arizona feel, you know, native beans and a little bit of foraging being involved, but as we took over and as we wanted to develop our own concept, the idea was what is Arizona cuisine? What's Arizona food? And mostly we probably came to the conclusion that no one knows, so shouldn't we do it? Shouldn't we embrace everything? It shouldn't just be Native American cuisine. It shouldn't just be cowboy cuisine. It shouldn't just be modern style American food. It should be Arizona's a melting pot of evolution. It always has been. Its ecosystem and its geographic buildup makes it that much more interesting. We have this glory and blessing of being in a spot where we have the ability to maybe make a definition of how do we gather bits of the past together with where we want to go in the future and make food that's honorable and honors not just the pioneers that came here, not just the natives, but everyone together as a whole. Who makes Arizona up?
So Chris, then I want to talk to you about this miso.
Okay, so I think that this miso kind of embodies the Cartwright's project in that you have these Arizonan ingredients. You have the acorns, you have the tepary beans, you have the Navajo steam corn that they're also making miso from. And then you have a collaboration between these great two groups. And it's not just a collaboration in that, like, they put their minds together. Brett is using the sake kasu in the miso. So sake kasu is the lees that are left over from the sake making process. When you make sake, you get this particulate matter and leftover yeast. And once you extract all of the stuff that you drink, you have the kasu left over, this stuff. It's like a white mass that looks kind of like shortening in a tub or something. And it smells like very aromatic and floral and fragrant, and he kind of works that into the miso, and it adds this extra dimension.
So you have to walk us through, though, the process of making miso is really intricate, right? I mean, this is, you're making it now for months from now.
The way that miso works is that you have what you call koji. It's usually barley or something like that that you add a certain fungus to. Koji is what catalyzes the fermentation. So you add koji to acorns that have been cooked and processed, and it's this huge long process where you even get to the point where you can add the koji. You add the koji, some salt, thyme, and then miso results later. It's a fermented product just like beer, pickles, kimchi, just a little different. And there's more than 1,000 kinds that they have in Japan. And I think acorn miso might be a new one. And Navajo steam corn miso almost certainly is a new one. So it's really an incredible thing when you think about it and really step back.
So Chris, as you're exploring this cuisine, this Sonoran Arcana, like you're calling it, and trying to come up with that answer to that question, what is Arizona food? What do you think it is?
So I think there's a lot of different dimensions. I think it's difficult to define without offending people. And that's why my term for what these guys are doing and what other people are doing who are basically taking native Arizonan ingredients and doing progressive things with them and applying global techniques, I call it new Arizonan, because it's hard to say that it, in my opinion, that it is specifically Arizonan because it's such a new thing. Arizona's been around since 1912 when it became a state. Before then, it was a territory. Before it was a territory, there was still an area that was Arizona and people were still cooking there. So calling, I guess, in my opinion, a more progressive kind of cooking with Arizonan food Arizona food isn't entirely accurate, and that's why I call it new Arizonan.
So you mentioned, Brett, when you were talking about what Arizona food is, you're talking about not only using food that is literally from here and ingredients that are from here, but representing the diversity of people here, it sounds like.
Right, and I think Chris touched on it well, and I think there's great chefs and awesome food in Arizona, but I didn't want to come here and make the best Japanese restaurant in Arizona. I didn't want to come home and make the best Italian restaurant in Arizona. I wanted to come home and make a restaurant about Arizona in Arizona. We like foraging. We love honoring the natives because they were here a long time before us. And we like growing things in dirt. We like things that aren't forced, things that want to be grown. And I often serve venison with berries and cattails. Why? Because I find all of them in the same spots. I guess that's all that matters here.
That was my conversation with Chef Brett Vibber and New Times writer Chris Malloy at Cartwright's Modern Cuisine in Cave Creek. Next month, we'll bring you another installation in this series as we try to define new Arizonan cuisine.